You tune in to episode 199 of Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Podcast. This is Eric Stromquist. Hey, I apologize for the delay in getting the podcast up this week, but have you ever had one of those days or one of those weekends where everything goes wrong? Tell you what, we had a heck of a time with the video cast this week, which caused all kinds of problems with editing, which basically meant that I was up till 3 o'clock. Which basically means I was up till 3 o'clock getting the video cast posted. So I'll apologize in advance. Some of the audio might not be quite up to snuff. Again, we had a lot of technical difficulties, but I think the podcast is going to definitely be worth it. We had two great guests. So back in the early days, if you wanted to get rich, you went west. Or as Jesse James once said, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. Well, we think that the money is in India, in the East. And our man, Samir Pradhan from India, gives us an update on what's going on over there. Timing is everything, and Samir will give you some tips on what's going on with the Indian economy and sort of how you can make plans to capitalize on that opportunity. Number two, our favorite cyber cop, Fred Gordy, has enlightened us to a way that hackers are able to get into our systems. And it's a peripheral device that we all use with our networks that is very, very vulnerable. And Fred is going to show you exactly how to protect yourself, how the bad guys are doing it, and how you can protect yourself. So you might want to actually go over to the video cast for that, because Fred has a lot of nice slides. And with that, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
You're listening to Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Podcast.
With the man, the myth, the legend, Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist.
Control Talk Now, the weekly podcast with building automation and smart building control news you can use.
Now, here's Eric.
This is Eric Stromquist. Welcome to Control Talk Now, your Smart Buildings video cast and podcast for the week ending September 25th, 2016. I am joined, as usual, by a guy I think is one of the smartest guys in the industry, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only. What do you call this guy? We call him Kenny Smyers, the control man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show. A big dog.
Oh, see, you embarrassed me. You introduced me to that kind of accolades. Now I can really live up to that introduction. But I'll tell you what's been on my mind today has been football. We had a Friday Night Lights in Western Pennsylvania. It's huge, big football games going on. College football, we got Pitt playing North Carolina. That's going to be a heck of a game. And then on Sunday, we got Philadelphia and the Steelers. Steelers have not beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia since 1965. So they're trying to break that bad string. But how about those Atlanta Falcons, man? They look awesome.
Well, I tell you what, the Falcons, I don't know about them, Kenny Smyers. I don't know. They played good last week. But, you know, this is going to be interesting. We're going to find out whether this Carson Wentz guy can play or not from Philadelphia, because, you know, the Steelers, they don't fool around on defense. So they are off the chain. And I tell you what, buddy, talking about people that don't fool around, our folks in the smart building controls industry, and I want to get to two that don't fool around right now, our sponsors this week for Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast and podcast. First up, we have Distech. And Distech, Dan Flaherty joined Distech in the not too distant past. We knew Dan from other companies, one of the really, really great folks in our industry. Dan, when he got with Distech, first thing he did was he reached out and he said, hey, we got to get involved with Control Trends. We want to be involved in the awards. And as you know, Kenny, as we get near nomination time, Distech has always really, really done well in the voting. They just didn't quite get over the big top. But I tell you what, with Dan and their sponsorship, I think they're going to do really, really well this year. So dude, give me some thoughts on Distech, man. They're kind of everywhere, aren't they?
I think you're right. Distech is one of the fastest growing control companies in the world, and now that they're part of Acuity, and you got very strong support internally from, you know, somebody like DG Logic, they're really going to continue to grow and develop. But what really impressed me about Distech is, as we got to know them more, is that they're global. You know, they've got a big presence in the United States and Canada, of course, North America, but they're also very active in Central and South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, Middle East, and a place called Oceania. Have you ever heard of Oceania?
Oh, come on, man. Oceania is like out of kids' comic book movies or something. That's not a real place, is it?
I'm telling you, I had to Google it. Oceania, the country and regions, it's also known as Oceanica, ICA. So, but it's a region centered on the islands of the tropical Pacific Ocean. So you've got Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, the Papua New Guinea Islands, and also New Caledonia, plus 15 more smaller islands. So you're talking about a part of the world that Distech services that woke us up. We just got smarter. How about that? So you get that on the next crossword puzzle.
Yeah. So if you want to get your Distech system service in New Caledonia or whatever, you can just call Distech. They got a rep there. I bet Mike Marson from EZAO's got somebody there as well. So that's sponsor number one, Distech. Sponsor number two, I spent time with Ted Haupt this week. Ted is with Heptis Systems, but they have a company, Kenny, called The Panel Shop, SHOPPE. And I tell you what, this is something else, man. These guys specialize in UL panels specifically for the building automation controls professional. So they'll put whatever Jace you want to put in there. They'll pre-wire it. They'll pre-test it. They have a phone home strategy. So if one of their panels get out in the field and you're having issues with it, they can tap right into it. But I think part of their philosophy is, one of the things we talk about a lot about, Kenny, is the fact that we have, lack of really, really, good. We have good people, good technicians. We just don't have enough of them. And I think where the panel shop can help out is, why have one of your top technicians or one of your good technicians sitting on a bucket wiring a panel where you can pay a little bit more, go to the panel shop and have these guys who do it every single day send you some panels out. So a special thanks to the panel shop. Panel shop and Heptro are our first systems integrators to come on as platinum sponsors. So we appreciate those guys.
Yeah, and another thing about the panel shop is that they're based out of Detroit. Of course, Heptis Systems is in North America systems integrator, one of the massive systems integrators with incredible reach and capabilities. But for the people in the States, they ship out of Detroit, so they have the presence and they have the reach to service. And like you said, it's as we see more evolutions occur and eliminate the duplicities we have in organizations and companies that can't have one of each. Back in the old days when things were easier, you could have your own engineering department, you could have your own panel fabrication department, whether you're a distributor or contractor. Now, sometimes it's a much better option to contract that out, get that cost, understand it, incorporate it into your bid price, and then when you get it, let those turnkeys turn and get into the next project.
No, completely agree, Kenny. I think that makes a lot of sense. And these guys do great work. They were also co-winners of the first ever Massive Systems Integrator of the Year award. So they, along with AI out of Oklahoma City, were co-winners this year. And, speaking of that, Kenny, we got a couple things going on. First of all, this is episode 199. We will take next week off. I'm going to be doing something, and you are too. And we're going to make up with our wives, which is a good thing, always a good thing. And then we are going to do our 200th episode at the Johnson Controls event in Nashville, Tennessee. So stay tuned for that. If you're not already registered for that event, it's coming up. You probably want to definitely get involved in that. It's not too late for that. And then KMC has their show right after that. So we'll be going up. I'll be going up for that along with Rob Allen, I think, and Mike Bonner. And then Kenny, you and I then hop over to the Siemens meeting in Chicago after that. So we got a full slate, but 200th episode coming up. We're going to do some celebration in Nashville with our friends from JCI.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting time, and how appropriate, to be amongst so many professionals that we've had the pleasure over the years. I mean, 200 episodes would be indicative of a 4 or 5 year run there. So some of the people that we've met along the way have been incredible. They're still the major players for Johnson for sure. Chris Eichmann, Chris Lane, Greg Wilmer. Looking forward to see those guys. And, they're really excited about some of the incredible technology, software and hardware they're getting ready to release at this meeting.
Well, not only that, we got Jenny Stentz is going to be there. And, you know, Kenny, we've done it before. I mean, number one year we covered the conference and they actually hired a videographer to follow us around. And was that like the most incredible product show you've ever seen? I mean, because they have so many different divisions. So everybody from the refrigeration to the York parks to the automation controls was there. So, I mean, you just get a lot done at this meeting. And what I loved about it is, although they do talk about some of their new products, and I think they'll be announcing a couple this year, as we said on the show before, Kenny, they really focus on making you a better business person. So they'll have great speakers there, but the product show is cool. We're bringing our own video. We're going to do our own video this year. So that's kind of cool, but it's going to be fun. And Nashville is such a fun town.
Right. It's going to be quick hitting, but I, like you said, the thing that Johnson does is they put themselves in your shoes, how they can make you a better business, operative, you know, how they can make your business more successful, how they can, alleviate some of the, again, the duplicities and some of the tools that they have. I think when you have a better understanding of tools, you're better able to put them to good work. And one of the big things is that FX asset tool that lets you go from start to scratch, from project bid to order submission to billing your customer. It's just all kind of self-contained in that one incredible tool. So they'll be going over some of the improvements they made there. But I like the idea that you come away with it's time well spent. You don't have a whole lot of time to waste, but when you get there, having the opportunity to learn something and walk away renewed, kind of refreshed, and kind of caught up to date with technology, and do that in a span of 2 to 3 days, that's where you're starting to really get better efficiencies as a business person.
No, absolutely, Kenny. Well, listen, speaking of getting down to it, we got two great guests. So let's do a couple of posts, and we'll bring our first guest on. So what did we have up first this week, last week, Kenny?
Well, the first post we had up was the Schneider Electric's new SmartX actuators, the MG350 series. Now, this is kind of cool because now we're seeing some response. Belimo had taken such a commanding lead on making certain components in the HVAC world smart, and now I see that Schneider has really and truly invested the time and energy they need to get their share of information and attention regarding these.
Kenny, I just got to hop in here because I tell you what, they sort of redefined smart with actuators, and one of the cool things about it, Kenny, is you get alarmed. Okay, so it's kind of cool if you think about what they're doing with that. You can alarm if the valve's clogged up, it'll give you an alarm. If your linkage is loose, you'll get an alarm. If you lose your signal, you'll get an alarm. So they got a lot of LEDs on this bad boy, Kenny. So I think they're changing. They got four models that will replace the majority of what you're doing. The dip switches is not such a big deal. It's cool to have, but others have it so you can change the action with the dip switches. But I think the fact that they're bringing the visualization in, they got the cool LEDs so you can look at your actuator from afar, see whether it's open, see whether it's closed, what the position is. But I think the game changer, as near as I can tell, Kenny, is the fact that you have alarms.
Well, again, just to review, HVAC accounts for 40% of the energy costs in a building. So what Schneider did here was they put a nice little graphic together with they show the three-way cooling valves on the tire. They show the steam humidification valves. They show the perimeter reheat valves, the chilled water coil valves, and they show the zone reheat valves inside of a building. So again, bringing intelligence and smarts into that. So this new series replaced their previous Duro valve selection and Duro actuator. So these are new and improved, and they're really, like you said, smart. So
and they've got again, alarms. IoT, baby. Alarms, alarms, alarms. Speaking of alarms, Kenny, I think we should be alarmed and alerted about what's going on in cybersecurity. You gave me a really interesting sort of thing before the show. Tell me about what you were telling me about earlier.
Well, Yahoo, state hackers stole data from 500 million users. A couple crazy things about that is the movie Snowden really gives you some insight how that state actor may have done it and who the state actors are. And so it's a really timely information regarding that this happened in 2014, and they're just reporting it. And that tells you that a couple of things. They probably didn't know it for the longest time, and when they found out about it, they didn't have their plans. Like Fred Gordy, our next guest, always says, you've got to have action plans for internal and external and before and after. So the 500 million users had their information hacked. The breach included swaths of personal information, including names, emails, as well as unencrypted security questions and answers. The hack took place in 2014, but has just only now been made public. And it's recommended that if you do have a user account with Yahoo, change your password, because it's probably been compromised. 500 million.
After this time, Kenny, you still got to change your password? I mean, we're just now finding that. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Eric, I'll tell you what, you know, I don't want to dwell on it, and it's an advertisement for Snowden, either plus or minus, but the movie gives you insight to what is going on there and what kind of breaches of security can occur and how they're happening and how they're engineered. You know, it's a state sponsored thing. And, you know, we're just we're fleas in the net. You know, we don't have a real chance. If we don't have the big protection that the big companies can give us and the laws that protect us, we have no privacy. So it just
crazy,
it's
crazy stuff, yeah, buddy.
It is. But I'll tell you, that's a good transition point.
Yeah,
to
the good news is, Kenny, we got people that can help us with that. Right. So like next guest, right?
Truly, especially when you start talking about the differences between operation technology and information technology. We have our next guest is Fred Gordy, Director of Cybersecurity for Intelligent Buildings. Fred is the prophet. He from 5 years ago, he was the first person to really introduce cybersecurity to our way of thinking. You know, when you have information technology, IT, you're talking about records, you're talking about, you know, personal files, you're talking about bank accounts, you're talking about dry tactical stuff, you know, but when you talk about operational technology, you're talking about things that turn off and on, chillers, plant controllers, things that really are very dangerous if they get hacked into and then tampered with. And Fred's next post is going to go into great detail. So at this time, we'd like to welcome our venerated cybersecurity expert, Mr. Fred Gordy.
Hey, Fred, welcome to the show, big dog.
Thank you, Eric and Ken, for having me on Control Talk this week. It's always a pleasure to join you guys. And I want to thank you, too, for carrying forward the cybersecurity awareness that you guys have been doing and helping me promote it. Today, what I want to talk about is something that most of everyone in the integration community is aware of, is BACnet. And this is not a indictment on BACnet, but rather how we have set the systems up and things to be aware of and to pay attention to in case this is the way your system is set up. In this first slide, what you're going to see is this is a network where on the left side may be basically a control network that is for comfort and that type of thing. And on the right side is more critical equipment such as the crack units, gen sets, that type of thing. And in the beginning, when this network was set up, it was probably originally set up that the control system for the comfort was just there by itself, and maybe they added in a control network for the data center, possibly. But at some point in time, it was decided that the information that was on both of these networks needed to be able to communicate to each other. So the introduction of the BBMD and helped do this. And if you're not familiar with what a BBMD is, it's a broadcast BACnet management device. And what this does is allows traffic to cross subnets, and meaning, you know, if you're on one set of IPs, 192.168.1.1 and another set this 10.1.1.1. These BBMDs will allow them to talk across. Now, what has happened is these BBMDs have not only been added into the system, which is fine. I mean, it's not a problem. But the problem comes in is when we expose that BBMD to using a public IP.
Hey, okay, buddy. So what does that mean?
What this means is the control system that's been sitting out on a public IP, which is not a good idea, has a username and password. The BBMD does not. So what that means is even though there's a control system there or any other layer of security, if the BBMD has a public IP address in it, it means that anyone can get directly to the BBMD without using a username and password, and anything that's downstream of that BBMD is now vulnerable.
So Fred, these BBMDs, how are they found?
Well, we've talked about it before. There's the search engines, the IoT search engines that are out there. There's about four or five of them now, whereas it started off, it was just Shodan, but there's several others now that are specifically looking for IoT devices, and BBMDs fall into that category. So what's happened is these IoT search engines are actually categorizing these things as BBMDs. And if I'm a bad guy and I see BBMD, then I know I've just been able to get around any username, password, firewall, whatever the case may be, if it's exposed via public IP.
Okay, Fred, what are you showing us right now?
Well, what this is this is a free program that anyone can download, which I'm not going to tell you what it is. But it's, like I say, it's free of charge, open source, and you can download this piece of software. It's a BACnet Explorer. But unlike some of the other ones that are out there, this one's a little bit more dangerous. As you can see, there's a lot of information there. And what I was able to do with this software, and in less than a couple of minutes, I downloaded it, put in a public IP of a BBMD, and then it produced all of this information. To take it a little deeper, or breaking it down, if you look here, this is on the left side of the panel. Keep in mind, I only have one IP, and what I was able to do was put that IP address in, and then all these devices appeared to me. The ones that are beneath that top device are the MSTP devices, or the serial connected devices, meaning even though they don't have an IP, I can still get to them. Okay.
So, Fred, what all is exposed? What all is available?
Well, what's available is once you pull this information in, you can actually begin to explore some of the properties of the devices, of the points, and some other things I'll tell you about in just a second. But in this window, what I'm showing is on the right side of the pane is all this information that a single point displays to me. It gives me the name of the point, but also it gives me all these editable properties that I could go in and make changes to it. Now, some of these changes would actually basically knock the point offline, or it could even knock the device offline. But if you'll notice, also, it gives me real-time values.
All right, buddy, what other damage can be done?
Well, because these properties are exposed, I can actually go to the device itself. And in this screen, what I'm showing is it's showing that it's got cold start, but there are several choices you can make, and one of them being restart, and then one of them says offline. So while the operator or the programmer could go back in and make that online, still, that's going to take them a little while to figure out what's going on if I just go in and set all the devices offline.
So if you're a bad guy, what other bad things can you do?
There's a lot you can do. So for instance, this screen shows that I'm able to go in and make schedule changes. So if I wanted the building to open up late or open up early to waste energy or whatever the case might be, not necessarily detrimental kind of stuff, but still it's stuff that would, could cost money or could it cost comfort and that kind of thing. And one of the things that I learned in a recent meeting is even though sometimes all you're doing is turning a light off or you're making some changes to the system, what happens is there's this brand damage part of it. So like the guy said at this one particular meeting, he says, I do care if the people turn the lights off, because if they see that the bad guy was able to go in, turn the lights off, the public perception is, what else did they get? This is another screen that shows you a couple of under the functions that it can do. If you'll notice, there's things like download, upload program. There's just a whole host of things that you'll be able to do. And on this next screen, this is the properties of a notification. Well, why is that important? And if any of you guys out there set up alarms and that kind of thing, you could set up critical or non-critical, or you could even disable the notification. If I wanted to do that, I could do that right here. So therefore, somebody would not receive their alarms, and that could be a bad thing, but it could also mask what I'm doing behind the scenes.
Fred, what other information can you get?
This right here is actually a trend log, and this is real-time values. This is, I can see how the system's going. Again, maybe not necessarily things that would create a problem for them, but it's just that this is just showing you the high availability of information I can get out of this system. Now, these next two screens are going to show you what alarms are active in the system. And again, I could go in if I wanted to at this point, and if you'll notice, it allows me to acknowledge these alarms, and then that basically takes them off the alarm screen. So if somebody were to, you know, come back and pull up alarm screen, they wouldn't see any alarms associated with this system.
Fred, this is all extraordinary. So what are the other ways the bad guys can get in?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we focused earlier in this conversation about public IPs and that kind of thing. But there's other ways that people can use this tool. For instance, this screen that I'm showing here is, even though everything's behind a firewall, you may have exposed devices that are outside the building. And the two circles indicate a rooftop and a generator. Well, why is that important? Well, the thing is, the generator could be behind the building. There may not be any cameras on the generator. So as a bad guy, I could go in there, hook up my laptop, and because these networks don't have oversight and there's no notification of if somebody is actually connected to the network, and I could become what they call the man in the middle.
All right, Fred, so what does the man in the middle mean?
What that means is I've actually inserted myself into the network unbeknownst to the operator. So I could take a device and put it in line between the generator and the rest of the network, and it could be a device that will allow me to go home and connect to this system in the middle of the night if I wanted to. So then I can take the tool that you've seen, and I can then go in and do whatever I want to this network. I could actually, you can go in and manually lock out the operator from even being able to do anything to the chiller. I could speed up, slow down the VFDs. I could set the crack unit set points to a high level that could potentially knock servers offline.
All right, Fred, it's quite a story. So how did we get here? How did this all come about?
That's a good question. So as you can see here, these two triangles represent OT and IT. IT on the left, there's a principle called CIA for IT and AIC for OT. And what that means is that in the OT world, the first level is confidentiality. You got to make sure all the information is confidential. Next is the integrity of the data. And then finally, availability. Not that you can't get to this stuff, but the first priority is confidentiality, second is integrity, and then finally availability. In the OT world, in ICS SCADA, and even in our world, availability is primary because you got to be able to get to the information. The systems have to see each other, and the integrity of that data has got to remain. And then finally, the confidentiality piece of it is really an afterthought. And as you can see here, what we've done is we've actually moved the confidentiality even further away from the triangle. And we need to kind of bridge that back together so that at least it's not so segmented. But that's not to say that we put confidentiality first in one respect, because that could impede some of the processes, but just getting the systems behind firewalls and that type of things. And even NIST, if you're not familiar with it, is a framework that has been put together to kind of guide us through this.
Wow. Okay, Fred. So what are some of the components of the framework?
Well, as you can see here, there's the basically you're saying, NIST has set up these guidelines that says identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. Identify, you got to know what's on your network. You got to know And that's the asset management piece of it, the business environment. What is it that your business does, and what kind of threat or risk do you have by what it is you do? If you're processing credit cards, if you're a hospital, so on and so forth. And then the governance, you know, taking care of do we have users in there that shouldn't be there, and on and on. Then protect, I mean, there's more information, and I'd invite you to go look at NIST website to kind of go deeper into this, but protect who can get there. What your employees, what kind of training are you giving your employees? Is your data secure? Detect. Well, as you saw in some of those examples before, the networks are not even being monitored. I would advise that you reach out to certain people. I mean, we can help you with that. But there's all kind of solutions out there that will help you detect whether or not you have illicit traffic on your network and respond. And this is important because if in fact something were to happen, you got to know how you're going to respond internally and externally. And then finally, recovery. How are you going to pull yourself back out of that hole? I mean, in the case of the Ukrainian power grid failure, they had a pretty good plan, but most of us don't realize, and I just recently heard a talk about this, is what the attacker did was actually turn all of the PLCs into bricks, so they were basically non-responsive. So they had to go in and literally replace, or if they could bring them back online, they did that. But they had a very good recovery plan in place.
All right, Fred, man, thanks so much. That's our guest, Fred Gordy, from intelligentbuildings.com. Man, Fred, can't tell you how much we appreciate everything you just shared with us.
Well, thank you again, Eric and Ken, for letting me be on Control Talk. You know, I always enjoy talking to you guys. And just want to thank you for keeping the word going about cybersecurity. And I also want to encourage anybody to contact me if you'd like, and we can discuss this a little bit further. My role at Intelligent Buildings is Director of Cybersecurity. We can help you with assessing these, assessing your system. We have a pretty wide range of programs, you know, depending on how deep you want to go, even to the point of seeing how vulnerable your systems are remotely, and also the social aspect of it. So feel free to reach out on me, reach out to me on LinkedIn or through Control Trends. I post on there regularly. Again, thank you, Eric and Ken, and talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Fred.
All right, man. Kenny, what, that was some pretty cool stuff from Fred Gordy, huh?
Well, it is, Eric. You know, I really appreciate what Fred does because, you know, he doesn't have to do that. He could be, you know, he's like a lawyer in terms of when you talk to him, he could be billing you for the information he gives you. I think his passion to really and truly, you know, bring off the misunderstandings of operational technology and to give us such concrete understanding of how things happen and you know, how these, you know, devices are vulnerable and how you can put man in the middle stuff and things that, you know, we just don't think – we think we know, but we don't. But now we can actually – now that we do know our vulnerability points, take action.
Well, and speaking of vulnerability points, an old friend of ours has resurfaced. Our good friend Larry Andreanis from Honeywell, who went to work for Control Co., is in the news this week. We broke it. Well, it was actually – we pulled it off the wire. But Larry has heads up a new software development company called Codero. And Kenny, any thoughts on that so far? It sounds cool, and we hopefully have Larry on in the next week or two to talk about it. But what are your initial reactions here?
Well, just to give the background to Codero, it's a new company created to help contractors, control companies, and end users find value in their building data. So that's a big trend that we've been tracked since day one. Codero was built over decades working with building controls. So the people behind Codero know the ins and outs of building management systems, from HVAC to plumbing. They also know the growth in the building automation technology. Now, we know Larry from being a contractor. He brings with him 28 years of building controls experience. And I mean, he's really been in the trenches as a contractor originally, and then going to work with Honeywell. He was the product management of the commercial controls profile. He was director of commercial sales. So Larry Andreunis really knows what sales teams need to, and he's overseen Allerton, Phoenix, and Honeywell Commercial, as well as Vicon. So I would think that if Larry moved from his previous position to this Cadero position, then he's got some very serious expectations, and he's got some challenges, but he must be very confident that he's got, he's excited about it because this is what he believes the market out there has been waiting for.
Well, I tell you what, and of course, I think it's no secret that Brian Turner from Control Co. is behind this. They've developed several different products as well as different software things that they've sold to some of the large manufacturers. And my inside sources tell me that that Brian and his team have been working on this for some time. And I think, you talk about Larry's experience, right? Actually being in the field. I know some of the people that Brian's hired. He's hired some of the brightest people in the industry. Brian himself is an extremely bright individual that really gets it. So I think you're going to see some big time stuff out of this. I can't wait to see the product and hear more about it. But if Brian Turner's involved and Larry Andreanis is involved and some of these other folks are involved, I have a feeling it's going to be a game changer, Kenny. So I can't wait to learn more about it.
Next generation of business.
Well, there you go, Kenny. So you got a really cool product. And then I tell you what, you got products and you got markets. So I tell you what, back when you great, 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 great grandfather Smyers or grandmother Smyers, when they were looking for opportunities, they went west, right? They went to the West because the West was untamed. That's where it was going to happen. And I tell you what, if you're in the building automations controls, you got to go east. East is where it's happening. West, east, right? And I tell you what, where there is more opportunity right now on the planet, I mean, I think we'll be hard pressed. Our next guest, Samir Pradhan, runs Control Trends India. Let's just introduce him, Kenny, because everything's happening east. No, east. I'm getting confused. Whichever way I said before is which way we want to go. So introduce our next guest, Kenny Smyers.
Love to, Eric. Our guest today is the director of Control Trends India, Mr. Samir Pradhan. Samir, welcome to the show.
Hey, Samir. Good to hear from you again, buddy.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Hi, Eric, and hi, Ken. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. Saturday morning good, here, but I think it's nighttime where you're at. What time is it where you are?
It's 9 p.m. on a Saturday evening. So,
and you're here talking to our Control Trends community, man. I tell you what, that's dedication, Samir. Dedication.
Thank you. I mean, this is one show that everybody loves to latch on. So it's any time is good time.
What is a good time? And for our listeners out there who may or may not know, Samir is running the Control Trends India site. So he's had that up for a while. And I think it's very pertinent because if you look at a country that's sort of on the come, if you will, with smart buildings and has money set aside, I think India is it. So we feel very, very fortunate to have Samir sort of keeping us in the loop on what's happening in India. So again, Samir, thanks for all the great work you do at Control Trends India. The website there is controltrends.in. I'll get you right there.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Well, Samir, let's dig in then. I'm anxious to find out because it's exciting. Like Eric just mentioned, the world's eyes are on the economic development of the smart cities in India. What's going on with India's the general state of affairs? Let's begin with the economy. How's everything going over there?
Yeah, India, when it elected the new government in 2014, the everybody had a large expectation, huge expectations from India. And the government. And the government took some very correct steps in the right directions. The previous government, we had some issues with policies. So these guys, rolled out the right policies. So one after the other, the smart city initiative started. Then there was Make in India. Then there was National Skill Development Council of India that was set up. Then, Digital India. So these three, four initiatives have all started rolling. But what has typically happened is, since just too many things were announced and it rolled out at almost simultaneously, things are taking a little time for it to roll out and see the effects of it. Nonetheless, things are being not only discussed but are being worked upon. On these on the smart city front, you know, we had the first 20 cities which were announced, then 13, and then last week another 27. So all put together, about 60 smart cities have been announced. The last that I know is pilot projects are being thought about. See, because there was a lot of confusion, because smart city as a concept is completely new, and India couldn't have aped any model from US or Brazil or Singapore, for example, because every country and city is so different. So that was where it was.
I see. Well, it's again, it's a gargantuan project. The concept itself is overwhelming because of the sheer numbers and size. But it's great to see that you're making progress, because I think the one opportunity you have is you have the advantage of starting fresh and starting in a situation where you can really employ and enable all the new technologies. You don't have to start with a big fight of all the legacy systems and getting through. I'm sure you go through some of that, but at least now when you pick your particular approaches, and we'll talk about that next, because you had a great Smart City Foundation panel meeting which you led, so we'll go to that next. But tell us, do you have much legacy feedback or blowback where you have to go through and integrate a lot of existing buildings and stuff into the new smart city concepts, or are you starting fresh?
See, to a large extent, what I know of, most of these pilot projects are being implemented in the newer parts of each of these cities. Because if they had really gone into the legacy system, then it's a maze of challenges that you would have to really take. So one smart thing that the government has done is picking up on newer areas which we developed about 10 or 15 years ago, and they are looking at implementing them. So implementation is going to be much simpler. You may not have to deal too much with the legacies. Yeah, see, we had a very distinguished panel. I was very happy because Control Trends India was invited by ISHRAE, which is basically the Indian Society of Heating and Refrigeration Engineers, which is the offshoot of ASHRAE. So these guys, as a part of their ACREX, which is the trade show which is happening in February every year, so they have road shows all across the country. So Ahmedabad was a city which is very close to Bombay, was chosen for the smart city because Ahmedabad incidentally also has the first smart city which is underway. And yeah, so we chose that. And then along with the ISHRAE members, a very, very distinguished personality was Mr. Sudhir Krishna, who is the chairman of Smart Cities Council. He's the guy who's responsible for setting standards, bringing in standards. And he's also a chairman of Indian the Bureau of Indian Standards. So the third position that he holds is he's a chairman of Delhi State Finance Corporation. So, he's a very, very, he's a prime mover, and he was there. He was the keynote speaker. And then the panel was joined by all the distinguished panelist speakers from Wipro, who is the system integration giant in India. Then we had a gentleman from Honeywell. Then we had two consultants, one from the security and the other from the intelligent buildings. So we had a great panel. We had a great panel discussion.
Awesome. Well, then the nuts and bolts stuff, when you try to begin to fathom the nature of establishing a smart city standard, what were some of the most important elements? I know that's such a broad question, but if you had to narrow it down to maybe like 6-7 items, what were the most critical elements of establishing a standard for a smart city?
See, Ken, up till now, the whole discussion in India has been smart city was a very, very broad, broad discussions were happening about what is the wish list and what's a smart city and stuff. For the first time, we got the discussion to nuts and bolts of viewing the technology side of the smart city with intelligent buildings. So that confined the whole discussion to a very narrow and a more focused point of discussion. And what everybody agreed is today's intelligence buildings in India, especially, which have we have typical legacy systems or even the open systems as they are programmed, we have lockdown and, you know, the end users are gridlocked and locked down. So all the participants primarily agreed on a few technical fundamentals that the new intelligent building should have as a part of smart city. And they are, you know, they have to be IP centric. They have to have true openness. Interoperability is not going to be sacrificed. Integration, the ease of integration, because I think we are going to be seeing a host of multiple and disparate systems that are going to be required to be integrated. The another important point, and very, very important point, was cybersecurity on the operational technology, because you will agree that today's building management systems are vulnerable to a large extent. You know? So that was one. Then the big things which are coming up, the big data, the data and analytics part of it, and of course, the everything's going to be cloud-based. So.
Well, our guest is Samir Pradham, who runs Control Trends India. So, Samir, what advice, I mean, when you're talking about the smart cities and you're talking about the openness, it seems like it's right up Niagara's alley, Tritium's alley. What advice could you give American companies who from the States is playing well over there? It seems like a lot of people are coming from Europe and Asia to play in India. But who from the States is playing well over there, doing well? And what advice would you give American companies that might want to participate in this smart city renaissance, if you will, in India?
Eric, the very simple advice would be that, see, when we define openness, interoperability, ease of integration, there's one platform which comes to everybody's mind, and it's on everybody's lip in India, is Niagara. So, you know, everybody practically, the architects with whom I spoke with, the consultants whom I spoke with, they talk very highly about Niagara. Now, the early movers have been Tritium, because that's a part of Honeywell. And, you know, so Tritium is well known. The other brand is EZIO, for example, because, you know, Mike Marston has been making a lot of trips to India and has been very popular with consultants and end users in India.
Yeah, we know that for sure. Samir, we were in Europe 2 years running, where EZIO had their international or their global meeting, and India had the largest representation. There was a score of engineers and, like you say, the prime movers. So it's very interesting to see all this come together. So what do you see happening in the near future? I know it's again, things have to be done in phases. It's not magic. I mean, we're talking about bringing together, you know, not just the people, not just the technology, the friendly software, and of course the friendly hardware, the most reliable stuff. But what's your next agenda? Or so this is the end of September. So we do things in quarters here. I'm sure you do there too. What do you see happening before the close of 2017 or 16, and then the start of 2017? What's like next on those quarterly agendas?
I will break this question into two parts. One is, let me quickly give you a snapshot of the Indian economy as it is on the ground. You know, on the one hand, yes, we have the big technicals about the smart cities and a whole lot of other things that we're talking about. See, what has happened is India is going through some kind of renaissance in terms of the financial renaissance, as I would say. Most of the big public sector banks have had a huge amount of non-performing assets, which has led to, you know, a slowing down of credit offtake. The banks have become, the Reserve Bank of India is like the Federal Reserve of US. You know, they have tightened up a lot of finance. They want to make sure that the money is going to the right projects and the right people. And so, you know, we are seeing some kind of a slowdown. Money is hard to come by. So I think another couple of quarters is something where we already saw two years because of all this, but another couple of quarters, two or three quarters, let's say, things could start moving much better.
All right. Well, Samir, thank you so much again. And I, the value of this information is extraordinary because, you know, we know that you have a day job too. It's your CICC company. Just give us a real quick summary of what you do there and why you have such insight and active knowledge of the Indian markets. Tell us a little bit about CICC and your role as managing director.
Thanks, Kenny. See, CICC has been on the market for a little over 12 years now, and we are doing complete end-to-end solutions in integrated building management systems. We do the supply, installation, testing, commissioning, and after sales. We run the AMC contracts too. So we have a complete staff strength of about close to 40 now, 40. We operate from Mumbai, and we do a number of projects in India as well as in the Middle East. So that's where we have been busy about. At this point of time, there are a lot of companies in India who are struggling for work, but CICC has about a humongous amount of work that's piled on our desks, and we're finding it hard to, you know, meet up with those deadlines and stuff. So that has also kept me in tune with people. I have been interacting with them and also soliciting and getting a lot of work.
Awesome.
So that's about it.
All right. So Samir, as you know, Ken has a Ken's calendar for the U.S. He keeps up with U.S. events. So I think now that we got our man on the streets in India, Mr. Samir Pradham, I think we need to do a Samir's calendar. Are there any events in India that our Asian community might want to be aware of, and even our people in Europe and the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, this month looks to be busy. We have the Smart Cities Council 15 city tour coming up, kicking off from October. The Fire and Security Association has just completed their 12 city tour, and I would be covering both these events. There is a big event coming up with the IGBC, that's the Indian Green Building Council. It's in the first week of October. And of course, there's a roadshow, the Acrex roadshow in Mumbai on 27th of September. So these would be major events that we would be catching on.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Samir.
Very, very cool. That's our guest, Samir Pradham, our man in India, Control Trends India. That's controltrends.in. Check him out. And then if you're in Asia and looking for a great systems integrator, Samir can obviously help you out with that too. So Samir, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you very much, and have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right, Kenny, man. Good stuff from Samir Pradham. Be sure to check him out. And Kenny, we're sort of wrapping it down here, big dog.
We have
two more posts, so let's hit our next one, man. Our friend George Thomas, Hall of Fame, Control Trends Awards, George Thomas.
Well, Eric, I always keep track of contemporary controls because they provide so much information, and they just they don't stop because they're rising to the changing environment too. So this is the need for speed and diagnostics. In other words, we have met with several network champions. We had Sierra Monitor, we have Optigo, but the old Stallworth that was one of the first that we got to meet, and it was through the spiders. We needed to have the to go from MSTP to IP was contemporary controls. So now that they've really mastered the networks, they keep introducing products that make people's lives easier. You know, so they've got the ability to do diagnostics on this constantly challenged network. This network's getting flooded, it's getting overworked, it's getting tangled up, and you need to be able to do diagnostics. So this particular product is an unmanaged EISK8 GT/H. It's an 8-port gigabyte Ethernet switch with hub functionality. Yes, Contemporary Controls deliberately broke the address learning functionality of the switch so that all the messages, the directed multicast broadcast, are flooded to all ports on the switch, allowing a protocol analyzer tool such as Wireshark the ability to observe all the traffic on the network. So they kept the best part of the switch functionality by maintaining the auto negotiation of the data rate at 10, 100, 1000 Mbps and allowing it straight through a crossover cable on a per port basis. So these guys really know this stuff inside and out. So if you ever really and truly need help with networking and with especially BACnet networking, with Modbus, these guys are the experts on networks and protocols. So please contact George and his team out there at Contemporary Controls. We have a hot button to their website, and I'm sure they can take care of you.
But what does it all mean, Kenny? What does it mean? What does it mean?
What do you mean? It means that if you can't get off a job because you can't get things talking to each other and it's costing you a fortune to find out where your problems are at, you need tools that lead you to solutions. And if you know using a diagnostic tool where you're not getting where you're getting bogged down, where the system isn't communicating effectively, or where you don't have any communication, these are the tools that you need to do the troubleshooting.
Right. So in other words, guys like George Thomas and Peng Yao from Optigo, they're just trying to save you money, right?
Yeah. Well, when you say tools, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, that there's an investment there, but the investment is to save you money, because there's nothing worse than floundering around 6 to 8 hours a day on a job site, can't get things to talk, can't get downloads, can't get updates, can't get, data across your network fast enough, and things start to, you know, get confused and bogged down. So that if you can make this thing more efficient, you know, get those green lights instead of the orange lights or the red lights, then your network is not your problem anymore. You can move on to the next set of challenges. But if you get good habits with this stuff, and I'll tell you what, I don't want to take the thunder off this, because go to the website and read it. But they give you incredible explanations about your network. In fact, George Thomas gave out a book, and you can download it. It's free. And all the incredible experiences this guy's had and his company's had, and all the intelligent people, all the intelligentsia that worked for Contemporary Controls over the years, and not just, you know, in the United States, but around the globe now. You've got offices in England and Germany. They share this information for the benefit of all. This guy, George Thomas, and
part he's of like the great just, educator, isn't he, Kenny?
He truly believes in open systems, and he truly believes in, he was a great mind himself. So what he's trying to do is enable and empower great minds to do great things with simple controls. So
listen, I'm totally on board with you, Kenny, but you know, when you say about the great minds, I think that's a great segue into our next post, because if you could take George Thomas's mind and Dr. Igor Mezik's algorithms, I think you'd have a winning combination. So tell us about our next post, Kenny Smyers.
Well, I'd love to. And the first thing I got to do is comment on that great picture. Where did you get that picture of that cyborg and robot? Because
Tender.
What's really cool about that? We've been following artificial intelligence and robotics, you know, since day one, but this picture has a robot wearing safety glasses. You know, the hard hat was cool, but the safety glasses make him look human. But would a robot really need safety glasses?
No, those aren't safety glasses, Kenny. Those are smart glasses, like the ones that we're going to be selling one day, where you can actually see what people are seeing, and you could then Thomas could be sitting back at a control panel.
Thought you were going to say that, but I tried to magnify that. And you know what? The smart glasses are in the smart eyes. They have smart robot eyes, so they don't need the smart glasses.
Yeah, but Kenny, I got the picture off of Tinder. So this robot's available for dating. If you like the way he or she looked, you can just swipe right, I think, or left, whatever it is. I don't really know. But
it's amazing. The post is about John D. Morse. He's the vice president of marketing and sales, and also Dr. Mezik. Dr. Mezik is an extraordinary guy. He's a world-renowned expert in the field of building energy efficiencies, and he lived on a ship with his father. His father was the captain of a ship that did exporting and importing all over the world. And so this guy learned about the rhythms inside of a building and the homeostasis. And they studied the building whispers, the people that could walk by a compressor and tell it's not running right. So what this post is in the rewind, the whole concept of the rewind is an amazing thing, because the information contained in this video is not lost in time. This thing is still what's driving it's the motivation catalyst for a lot of people. These guys won the award back in, let's see, I think it was 2015. They won an award, and I don't think their technology is fully unfolded. These guys have had success. They won the Echo Rhythm Proud Recipient of Frost and Sullivan's Visionary Innovation Leadership Award in 2015. So we're in 2016, and now their information's coming out. Everybody's kind of – I see more people doing some of what Echo Rhythm did, but the post gives you an interview, a one-off interview with one of the most incredible, intelligent guys that's taken his expertise, and now he's pointing it at buildings and building automation for efficiencies.
No, no, absolutely, Kenny. And I tell you what, John D. Morris has actually moved on. So John, who was just a very bright guy, is now the operating partner at Potomac Energy Fund. So he's moved on. But Kenny, the thing that was so fascinating to me about this, because we talk about going from, you know, alarm-based stuff to rules-based stuff, things like Sky Foundry and stuff like that. But you have to know the rules. You have to write the rules. Now, if I'm understanding John right, I think the possibility, Dr. Igor Mezik, right, the possibility here is you don't necessarily have to put the rules in anymore. You can put the data points in. It can then artificially sort of, using artificial intelligence, learn the relationships and come up with the correlations that that would eliminate a lot. Because if you look at guys like Ted Haupt, who from Hepta Systems, who do a lot of these, you know, analytics type packages, he actually has a couple of data scientists on staff. So it's, I mean, writing these rules and understanding the correlations and the relationship is the real trick to analytics, right? Making it mean something. So if Mezik's got this thing down and you don't have to do that, I think it's going to mean analytics for everybody, right? It's going to make it easier. Now, I'm not sure if that works or how well it works, but conceptually, it just makes a whole lot of sense, I think.
Sure. Again, this concept transcends the, you know, the rules-based stuff. I think you were saying in Sky Foundry, you know, about how you can prevent, you know, these anomalies or follow anomalies or whatever. This, I think, goes one dimension deeper into the actual, you know, they use this they can use this logarithm to diagnose an engine, F100 engine, if it's running properly, and also if a heart's beating properly. They just change the you know, make a couple tweaks into the logarithm, but it will read and learn whatever the format is, whatever the environment is, whatever the program is. It's an incredible concept that this genius from I think he's at Stanford, or where's he at now? He's at
No, it doesn't matter. He's smart.
The Institute of Energy Efficiency. So he's the head and building and design solutions group at the Institute of Energy Efficiencies, UCSB. So University of California, Santa Barbara. So I'm just he was a lot of fun. And see, that's why the interview is so important. And I'm sorry I lost the thread on the gentleman that left. John.
That's okay. I got it, man. I had your back, Kenny Smyers. On that, man.
But we were waiting for this thing to break into the, to go public and become purchasable. That's how, you know, extraordinary.
Well, you know, it might be on the post, Kenny, I put up, I went to their website. There's some case studies. There's a link on the website where you can go if you want to get more information. So definitely check that out. But with that, Kenny Smyers, I tell you what, you know, one thing that you don't need artificial intelligence to know about is our time is almost up here. So with that, special thanks to our sponsors this week, Distech and the Panel Shop. That's SHOPPE. And to our guest this week, Fred Gordy. Man, great chair, Fred. Thank you so much for all you do for our industry. And our man in India, Samir Pradhan from Control Trends India. It's controltrends.in. So with that, Kenny Smyers, thank you very much for all you do for the Control Trends community. And to our Control Trends community, thanks for tuning in. Remember, we'll be off next week, but we'll be doing our 200th episode in Nashville, Tennessee. And I think we're going to get Kenny up for karaoke night there. So with that, be bold and stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers. Karaoke, I could totally see you doing that. Will you do that, man? We'll bring the video cameras in Nashville, Tennessee. You got a great voice, man. I heard you sing, man. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, that would have to do with the beer time ratio. How many beers I had? No, I'm just kidding.
That's like Munch's corollary, isn't it? The more beers, the more you sing.
The propensity increases. Yeah. The desire. I don't know where it's at, but maybe an old Beatles, a smoothie song. Yeah. We'll get up there together and we'll sing Love, Love Me Do or something.
Let me hear you do that a little bit.
Nope.
No beer. Nope. No beer. You haven't been drinking beer this morning?
Nope.
I tell you what, our podcast might be more interesting if we both have a couple of beers beforehand. All right, big dog, you take care. Have a good one, okay?